Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Pumping! This is the unloved members of the Black Eyed Peas, Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore. Luke and Pete Shaw, we were thrown out after Where Is The Love, but before Let's Get It Started. We were proud members of the Black Eyed Peas, but just Fergie, we just could not deal with her. She threw us out, and now we're doing a podcast together. So pleasure to speak to you once again, Luke. Are you thinking of joining any chart topping beat combos in the future?
Well, what people don't fully realize, I don't think, is that the P in Black Eyed Peas actually stands for Pete Donaldson.
Black Eyed Pete.
Black Eyed Pete.
Which is what happened when we left. We had a big fist fight.
I've been in the same room as Fergie, by the way.
Yeah. Good. Wasn't there a day that she wet herself, or am I thinking of someone else?
That was on stage. I wasn't there.
That was on stage.
I've got an alibi for that. No, it was in the office. I was working in the music business at the time, and she was on the label that I worked at, and she came in. And I don't really have anything interesting to say that wouldn't be unnecessarily cruel, so I won't.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say, Peter, to our listeners is that we were only ever really part-time touring members, weren't we? And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I will take a phone call occasionally from Will.i.am just to find out what he's up to.
Yeah.
He's still into his, he's still massively into his vaping. Enjoys gardening as well. He's doing all right, actually. He's not as tall as like you'd expect.
I heard him being interviewed by Alison Hammond in the World's Most Tedious Interview over the weekend on Radio 2.
And you've done a few, let's be fair.
I've done a few, but none as quite as asinine as the one she managed to bring to the table, I have to say. I mean, look, she's very charismatic, and obviously they're going for a... they've obviously gave a job to Rylan, who's a very vivacious, kind of exciting kind of character, charismatic guy, and he could definitely do the job. I think Alison Hammond, I shouldn't have to listen to her doing a two-hour radio show, quite frankly, because she's very much... charismatic when she's doing like the Blade Runner interviews and stuff. Have you ever seen him interview the cast of the new Blade Runner film? Very, very funny. But do I need her doing links? Do I need her linking an entire show together? Not really. Not for me, Clive. And I speak from a little bit of experience and a little bit of... I think...
What, doing shit links?
I might be, pound for pound... The better radio DJ than Alison Hammond. I'm going to say it. Guys, I'm going to say it. I reckon I've got more to my game than Alison Hammond. And you may laugh at me and go, Pete, there's a reason why she's on telly. There's a reason why she's on radio too. I go, fine. I can be as unprofessional as she is. I can just laugh my way through an interview. Giggle my way through an interview.
Finally, I'm on board.
Oi, oi, oi. I'm sure she'll get better.
I think
we all get better. I massively...
Don't row back from it, you coward. Stick at it. Fucking pathetic by
if
you.
This show
Stick
isn't,
at it.
If this show isn't Alison Hammond should not be on the radio. I should
Pete,
not be paying
listen,
that licence fee.
Listen, you've said that. Stick with it now.
All
people
right,
no one will respect
fine.
You if you row back on it.
Okay,
and I would
fine.
Say that I didn't know she was on radio 2. I don't think I've...
I think she was covering for Rylan
for a long time. Well, I think Rollins excellent.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I think they're trying to just kind of throw when you see sort of DJs getting thrown in at the deep end, you sort of go, that's not your fault. Because you're always going to say yes to work, aren't you? You're always going to say yes to a better job, so or a bigger job or a more stable job. And she's been throwing the lines there. Oh, yoy, yoy. But I just, the Will I Am interview was just very basic.
What was wrong with it?
It was just like, what have you been doing during lockdown? And then he'd say the answer, and then she'd ask her the same question again. What have you been eating during lockdown? And then he'd say that again. He goes, I write three songs. I write three songs a day. I write three songs a day, and then I work out for 2 hours every day. That's how he talks. So
how does he talk like that again?
I work out for 2 hours a day, and I release three. It sounds like Mitch Hedberg. I write three songs a day, and I'm living in a castle. And he kept on going on about joking that he lived in an English castle. It was just.
Why
so
were you
tedious.
Listening to this?
I don't know. I don't even want a radio show anymore. I was just going, come on now. Come on. Come on.
Basically, you don't want a radio show anymore, but you also don't want anyone else to have one?
I don't want Alison Hammond to have one.
Who else don't you want to have one?
You. And I've succeeded.
Well, that wish has been granted.
You left Talk Sports, so I'm happy now. So if I can't have one, nobody can have one.
Yeah. I think these are the ramblings of a genuinely unhinged man.
I know. I'm hot as well. I'm in the Staccano studio, and it's obviously during the summer months, which we've kind of been thanks to COVID and lockdown stuff. We've kind of missed a lot of the body heat that would usually be present in the studio. So I think we've done pretty well not to melt. But yeah, it's just been raining in London.
Speaking of that, Peter,
and just as I'm slagging off Alison Hammond, the sun comes up.
Yeah, just as you were slagging off Alison Hammond, you've literally got 5 minutes into the show and you're now doing a weather update. So mate, speaking of the temperature, did you see something that broke earlier this week about Death Valley in California?
Did it reach record temperatures or record low temperatures for this time? Because Death Valley's awful.
Well, what happened was, so it's there's a part of Death Valley called Furnace Creek. Isn't that as hot? Probably is. And apparently at 3:41 on Sunday just gone, 3:41 p.m., the temperature hit 129.9 Fahrenheit or 54.4 Celsius, which could be the hottest reading ever reliably recorded on this planet. Now, complication is that in 1913, there was talk of a slightly hotter bit of data, which I think came in at 100. And, what did I say? 100? Yes, so apparently 134 Fahrenheit has been clocked, but it was in 1913.
And
I don't know if people
are
happy with. I don't know if people are happy with the reliability of the data. Either way, it's definitely the hottest day ever in August in Death Valley. And I just wanted to bring it to the table because I did some interviews for some people who want to come work with us last week, and I had to do them in my spare room on it, and it was the hottest day of the year. And because of the fact that they were done over Zoom, I couldn't really have the fan on, and I had to have the window closed. And it got to 34 degrees in my spare room. Now, this is 20 degrees hotter than that, and my brain can't even process how hot that would be.
Luke's dying hot cars. I like the idea that any new recruits would be seeing your beautiful glistening face. God, my new boss is very shiny. Very shiny.
Well, I'm
man.
Not much of a sweater, am I, famously?
No.
So I'm
You're
all
like
right.
Prince Andrew.
I'm a bit of a Yeah.
in many different ways.
I try to get in there and say I'm a bit like Alistair Cook, who's famously an English cricketer who doesn't sweat, but you got right in there with the Prince Andrew heading. I couldn't stop
better.
It.
Well, as you know, look, it's too obvious, mate, because you we'd be talking the same language if we were talking about cricket, because I'm just so across it. The bat and the ball, the smell of the cedar.
I know. We found out on Monday, cedar. We found out on Monday. But I just wanted to carry on very, very quick with this Death Valley thing, because I think that some people out there will be confused, as I was, about why it gets so hot there. Because, you know, you've got, you know, people understand that the equator is warm and the Earth is a certain shape. But there's a certain amount of, it's like a confluence of like different factors which makes Death Valley very, very hot. And the only other place I believe that is equivalently hot is a place in Libya, which roughly equivalent in terms of temperature. But because you would expect, if I said to you, if you didn't know, you'd think, where is the hottest place? You'd probably say something like the Middle East, right? Like Saudi Arabia or the Africa or Qatar or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's apparently to do with the fact that in Death Valley, particularly, there's four main things. One is that because it's low, it's mostly rocks, it experiences what's known as solar heating, which I think is roughly equivalent to why London is a few degrees hotter than elsewhere outside the big city, because there's loads of rocks and loads of concrete which heats up. And it's the sun basically just warms the rocks and they then respond by releasing heat. Then the warm air gets trapped because of the high steep kind of valley walls, if you like, the mountains around the valley, so it can't escape. And then there's migration of warm air from other areas, and then the mountain winds come from other hot areas which are really very hot as well. So yeah, you've essentially got the perfect topographic conditions for what is essentially a natural oven, basically.
I think
would you like to go there? I don't know if you can go there. I think they might stop you certain times.
Really? Do you reckon? Because it's like isn't it Las Vegas? Because Las Vegas is just like a bit of a It's a bit of like a nail in just a big desert, and it was just kind of like created by man. Like this, come here and gamble in the middle of nowhere. I remember the drive from San Francisco across through like Modesto and a place like that to be just there's just nothing there in between there and the coast.
Well, this is quite interesting because, as ever, these kind of things are politicised as well. So, so Libya do actually claim a 58 degrees Celsius temperature recorded in 1922, but there was an investigation 7 years ago by the World Meteorological Organization who dismissed it and said it was completely unreliable and couldn't be claimed, which they got pissed off about. So, like, it's like a bit of a claim to fame. I don't really know why.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Yeah, we will need humanitarian aid pretty soon because this is fucking ridiculous.
I'm saying, Pete, is if the World Meteorological Organization want to come and investigate the circumstances around my flat last Wednesday, they are welcome to do so. I've got witnesses, I've got evidence. I took a photo of the thermostat in the house and everything, so I can't really dismiss it.
What do you reckon? Like, I wouldn't bring in like independent scientific research and thought and measurements. I would bring in Carlos Santana and Rob Thomas. Man, it's a hot one. Like 7 inches from the midday sun. I'd bring them in.
Give me a heart, very real, or else forget about it.
Do, do, do,
not
do,
that
do,
one,
do,
the other one.
No, the other one. There's a guy on Twitter who just keeps on tweeting Rob Thomas with the phrase, man, it's a hot one. Hot one here, Rob. Hot one. Every day.
Is it like
Limmy?
Limmy who tweets every single day.
Yeah.
Limmy tweets, check out Get Lucky by Daft Punk if you can, Sound of the Summer.
Sound of the Summer.
He's done
that every day since
like 3 years.
Well,
I admire it.
Gav from Regular Features, a very, very good podcast. He's part of the RKG lot, and he every time I think he's got it set up to. I think at the start of the month he checks out when Jurassic Park is on the television, and he'll when it starts it'll automatically post on Twitter. There's a film called Jurassic Park on Channel 4. At the moment, sounds a bit far-fetched, but I'll stick with it. And every time it's on,
it's always on ITV too.
It's always on ITV too. It really, really is. But look, it works because I think it's like the same thing of like putting Friends on every day on Channel 4 and beyond. It's just something that people will watch, and it's quite cheap programming. You put on Jurassic Park, you're gonna get eyes.
Yeah, I believe that when Netflix acquired Friends, everyone was like, "What are they doing that for?" And it's the most viewed show on there by miles, basically.
Yeah. It's
that's why they're doing it.
Very easy.
Obviously.
I'd say the resurgence and of the rebirth of interest in the US Office has been similar. You know, it's on Amazon Prime. Anyone who's got a Prime account can watch it. I think it's on Netflix as well. And so kids are watching it, and because it's just really easy. You know, it's 20 quid, 20 road tested, slightly edgy humor, slightly dated humor in 2020. But it's you know, 20 minutes of fun, and then out. All the characters are there. It's cracking, and there are infinite amounts of them. And I've watched I'm finishing off my fourth run at it. incredibly and inexplicably.
Despite what people on Twitter who've got like 400 followers and put in their bio that they only watch Mongolian art house movies think, most people aren't like that, are they?
No, they're really not. They're really, really...
Can I mention something, Pete, that I forgot to mention on Monday? Mm. And I know you'll have zero interest in it, but I'm quite passionate about it, so I'll mention it anyway, is that I really enjoyed watching Ronnie O'Sullivan win his sixth world title in the World Snooker on Sunday. And what he has been able to achieve in the sport is actually quite ridiculous. He's been at the very top of the game without even really trying, for the most part, for now 27 years. He won his first Triple Crown title at 17. He's now 44 and has just won the world title again, right? He is, when people talk about The Last Dance and Michael Jordan being the best that any sportsman's ever been at anything ever, Ronnie O'Sullivan is right up there with the most naturally talented sportsman that's ever lived, not just in this country, but around the world. And to put it in perspective, in 2012, he won the world title, right? Mm. He then took the whole of 2013 and 2012 and 13 off, came back for the following world title without playing any snooker and won it again. it's not even fair.
It's funny, and I guess snooker probably isn't regarded as being the, you know, because I guess more physical sports, you have a much more limited kind of lifespan. But you spoke very eloquently about him last week and how incredible he's able to do what he does, and he's quite funny and chippy about it. He's in good nick as well. He does lots of running, doesn't he, Ronnie O'Sullivan?
He's got a publicly, I think he's got a public Strava for his running, so you can look at his times and stuff. And I sent his 10K PB to my mate Lee, who's a really big runner, and he wouldn't have it. He's like, no fucking way, I'm not having it. No way has he done that. That's 7 minutes faster than my PB. He can't do that. But apparently he's a very naturally talented runner as well, yeah.
Brilliant. I love that. I like those kind
of... But he's just a genius, right? Yeah. He's just like the general consensus around something like snooker is you have to have a bit of talent, of course, but it's just practice, practice, practice. And it's one of those really kind of mentally draining pursuits because you spend a lot of time on your own in a dark room. Some of them spend 7-8 hours a day just potting balls. Jeez. And Ronnie, although I'm sure he does practice, doesn't really do that. And yet is still better than all of them. Even Stephen Hendry, who's widely regarded as being the best ever, who's had 7 world titles to Ronnie O'Sullivan 6. Stephen Hendry even says he's the best player ever. You know, it's not even like a closely run thing. So it's just incredible what he's been able to do, like naturally with, yeah, he's essentially just a genius. I know you've got to take that kind of phrase on a term under caution because it means different things to different people. And some will say that, you know, there's no such thing as genius. It's all about practice. I mean, I don't really see how you can explain the phenomenon of Ronnie O'Sullivan without acknowledging the idea that he is just supremely talented, way over and above everyone else. It's kind of interesting how and he's had his own mental health problems as well, by the way, which have manifested themselves in different respects, but what he's been able to do, I think, has been it's astonishing, really. And he should be what more widely regarded for it. I mean, I know that someone piped up the other day saying that there's no way he shouldn't have been Sports Personality of the Year by now. I mean, like some of the people who've won it, you walk past him in the street and you wouldn't know who they were. Mm. O'Sullivan's been at the top of his game for 27 years. Stephen Hendry's the best player in terms of winning the most world titles. I think he won his last world title at 30, and Ronnie O'Sullivan's just done it at 44 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's incredible what he's been able to do.
Well, look, study his brain. There must be something going on there that's not going on anywhere else in humankind. But what do you reckon it is? Big hippocampus. That's the only bit the brain I remember. They're big. The hippocampus, just massive. Just a big, fat, greasy hippocampus. I don't know. I'm not a bloody expert, am I?
Did you see that in that show, that film Free Solo with the guy who free climbs El Capitan and he goes for a... Have you seen the movie? I think you have.
No, you have.
Okay, at one point he goes into a hospital and gets an MRI.
Yeah.
And they find out that the bit of his brain that kind of manages fear is just like completely non-existent.
Would they find that? I mean, that seems like... That's overreaching what the hospital should be doing.
What do you mean? He's asked to do it. He's been asked to go in there.
They pin him down. I thought it sounded like he just went in for an unrelated, you know, cardiogram or something, and just they just went,
No.
Your fear gland is so small. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, it sounds like a Simpsons sketch. When you're 3,000 metres up in the air or whatever it is, with no ropes on, and you're still climbing, and you're not getting sweaty palms, and you're so focused it doesn't affect you, they want, as part of the movie, they wanted to find out why he was able to do that.
Right, okay, like, I see.
Every kind of natural reaction or inclination of most human beings would be to get the sensations that you would get, which attribute themselves to fear. So it could be for any reason, but you know what it's like. You'll get a dry mouth, you'll get sweaty palms, you'll start to be a bit twitchy.
Erection.
And he doesn't get any of that. So they went to try and find out why that was, basically.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to hit an ad break. We'll be back very, very, very soon with more of your emails.
Before we do, though, Pete, I just want to let you know, if you haven't seen the film, what happens is they scan his brain. Why is he so good at rock climbing? It comes back and his brain is just a gigantic rock.
Cliff. It's a bit of cliff. Hot Death Valley cliff. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. We'll be back in a second.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back. Luke, I do not mind admitting I've taken my top off in the Stakhanov studio. Is that allowed? Whoa. I don't know. We'll find out if any of our colleagues walk in and shout
at me. I can't stop you.
You can't stop me.
I can't stop you,
yes.
Mate.
Yes.
And nor would I want to.
No, exactly. It is just, it's got too hot and I'm not wearing the dad jeans that I'm famous for. But I have got my top. I've literally got, I'm looking at the reflection of the door. If I hear the door go, I've got a second and a half before people can see my nip-nips. So I'm on tenterhooks. I'm excited. I'm exhilarated.
You shouldn't be excited. You should be focused.
Well, I'm laser focused on the show, but also not scaring Katie or Charlie, who are our colleagues. with my nipples.
Given that you have played several nude pranks on me in that studio over the years, you
not,
should be well
I've
versed
not,
in what you've got
I've not got my bits out in this studio, mate. I don't think so anyway.
I've got photos. I can share it. I'll share them if you want.
There's 4K footage. If there's 4K footage of my wanger, that's out of order, Luke.
4K makes it sound really impressive.
4 kilograms.
It's actually 4K footage.
yeah, 4 centimetres. Chris has got in touch with the show. Huge thanks for the podcast and making the last few months more bearable. Mate, Chris, thank you for listening. Firstly, just picking up something from last Thursday's episodes where Luke said that there was a coffee that went through and came out of the digestive system of an ocelot. Unfortunately, the ocelot is a small carnivorous cat from Central and South America who are carnivores. And they snack mainly on iguanas, rodents, rabbits, etc. I presume you wouldn't want what comes out of them after a big session on the iguanas. The mammal famously digests the coffee beans to create a kopi luwak, or luwak maybe, it'd be luwak, wouldn't it? It's from Southeast Asia and it's called a civet. There are 12 species of civet, counting
right.
Nocturnal mammal. They're found across the tropical rainforests of Asia and Africa. So there you go. Anyway, after the civet ocelot debate, I wanted to pick you up on the bizarre funeral habits of people around the world following Pete chatting about stripper funerals. In Sulawesi, Indonesia, there is a region called Tana Toraja. A few years ago, I found myself there and ended up attending a funeral. When someone dies, they keep the body semi-mummified in the bedroom of the family home until they've saved enough money for a suitably lavish funeral. This can take up to 2 years and the family sleep in the communal areas while the body lies in the rest of the bedroom. Part of the funeral ceremony then is to sacrifice over 20 buffaloes by hacking their throats with machetes in front of the funeral attendees.
That's too many.
Each buffalo and its meat then gets given to different people in the local community. A bizarre funeral experience indeed. Yeah, just like a shriveled up, mummified body.
What part of the world is that in, Pete?
Indonesia, I believe.
I think what he's referencing there is referenced in the film Apocalypse Now. In the end, when they do whatever they do, I don't want to spoil it, even though it was made in the 70s, but they kind of intersperse shots of what's happening with the ritual sacrificing of a buffalo. And I think that movie was shot in the Philippines. So I think that might be exactly what he's talking about, that kind of thing.
Didn't they try and argue that no buffaloes were harmed or something in that movie? Just obviously,
I mean, come on.
Codswallop.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around that movie because I'm pretty sure that the director ended up like loaning a load of helicopters from a government that was actually listed on a banned government list.
Lovely.
Doing business with the United States. So he broke all sorts of kind of sanctions.
He was
basically mad. He was mad what was getting up to.
It shits on Apple and... I've seen Apple and Epic are having a fight about Fortnite. The video game that every kid in the world is playing.
Yeah, I've also seen that. I've also seen that if the US go ahead with this thing about banning WeChat, that Apple are going to have to say goodbye to $45 billion worth of revenue in China.
Oh, it will be. There's no way they can do that because WeChat is like everything. It's like
it's a payment processing thing as well, right?
Payment processing, you can book cabs, you can get food, you can get your friends. It's your whole life. It's an incredible piece of work. You can gift people money with the red envelope systems. It's like it's a fully functional. It's what if you had a government who just allow you to just do whatever the fuck you want. That is the product that you get out of it. A lot of the products are obviously disabled in the West, but yeah, it's everything. Like obviously, I think Japan's got Line, the Chinese have got WeChat, and it's just a whole suite of it's your social media, it's your cabs, it's your food, it's your everything. Excuse you, cab. Did you order a cab on WeChat? It will be incredible. But the idea that Fortnite has got so big that Epic think that they could just sort of go, fucking come at us, Apple. We're gonna do our own little. They're American, I think. Yeah, they've got studios all around the world. But they literally Fortnite has gotten to such a size that they think they can take on Apple and say, look, you're not taking 30% of all of our money. Even though it's pretty flat all over, everybody they take 30% off everybody, apart from the film side of things. But yeah, they think they can go toe to toe with Apple, and the only winner.
What's the fallout going to be?
Apple. Well, they were clearly preparing They clearly were prepared for Apple to take them off the store and the Google Play store as well, because they prepared a fully CGI'd animation of like a parody of an old Apple advert that nobody fucking remembers, like a 1984 free Fortnite hashtag bollocks. And basically, people have talked about it a lot over the weekend, but weaponizing gamers, which is never a good idea because gamers are incredibly insane.
Voracious. But Pete, why would it affect the Google? Why would it affect the Google Play Store as well?
Well, similar. So I think Google take, if you're on the Google
same
Play Store,
rate.
They take the same rate. So Epic took basically added an extra bit of code into their system and said, look, you can get these points and, you know, you can get this in-game currency a little bit cheaper if you go through us, because obviously Apple and Google aren't taking their 30% if you go straight through Epic. But yeah, obviously it was not checked.
If this precedent is set, Peter, if this precedent is set, will you stop taking 30% of my income?
Look. Look, this is the reason why Blondie is still touring. You make decisions when you are younger in your career that you live to regret for the rest of it. And if you can't...
Like in this country when she doesn't get... Her mum won't celebrate her birthday because she says that she sold her birthday 5 years ago for 200 quid.
Nice, lovely old job. That's
good. So I'm not celebrating now. You knew what you were doing 5 years ago when you sold it for 200 quid. I'm not having a birthday present this year. You know what you've done.
200 quid is such a good line. It's such a good amount of money. It's such a good amount. Yeah. It's because it's a decent amount of money that you would sell your birthday for. But obviously, the idea that a parent would do that's such a good
She spends it all on in-app purchases on a game anyway.
Does she? Brilliant.
Listen, let's do one more email because we've got an email from another pilot, and it's Pilot Claude, who I don't think we've heard from before.
Bonsoir.
So a very warm welcome and hello to you, Claude. He says, hi guys, hope you're well. Thanks again for all the pods keeping us entertained. Definitely made lockdown easier. Just thought I'd get in touch because you mentioned us pilots sitting around doing nothing at the minute, which is mostly true. I wasn't flying for 3 months over lockdown and then was luckily one of the first pilots to be called back around mid-June. It's been strange going back to work with a lot of new procedures, mainly revolving around masks. More and more people seem to be kicking off about them and giving the cabin crew a hard time. Hopefully people understand that it will just be the rule for some time and we have to get used to it. That's another story, though. There are quite a lot of pilots obviously still on furlough and practically all airlines are proposing big pilot cuts, sadly. Our union has been in talks for ages with the company to reduce the redundancies, but it's not looking great for a lot of folk, but hopefully they can save as many jobs as possible. Back to your point about pilots sitting around twiddling their thumbs, I managed to get a concussion and whiplash last weekend playing Gaelic football. I fell backwards with a lot of force and smacked my head on the ground. So I've been grounded since then because I have to take some rest and get some rest and take some painkillers. I can't go back until I get signed off by various doctors. So it's back to sitting around playing FIFA and dossing around for the time being. All the best, Claude. Claude, can I just say, you sound like one of the more hapless pilots we've heard from, and I wouldn't like to fly with you. I would not like to fly with you.
He's clearly got concussion, enjoying something, you know, it's something a little less systemic and, you know, a little less kind of stressful, and look where it's got him. I mean, I would abhor playing a pilot on FIFA. They'd be so precise. They would know they have to have very kind of organized minds. Great angles, judgment, flight of the ball, you know, the ball dynamics would be all up in their heads. It'd be a nightmare. Oh, and the language from the muse.
Yeah, but in Claude's case he's actually got a serious about a concussion, so you probably fancy your chances beating him.
Yeah, but I mean, he'd be on the Xbox Live headset because obviously they're used to wearing headsets, and he'd be like, "Good afternoon, everyone."
Can I just say, Pete,
you're playing Pilot Claude here.
You probably have to, the altitude we're playing at is approximately 0 feet. You must really hurt yourself to get whiplash from hitting your head on the floor. Whiplash.
Yeah, like forward whiplash, presumably. Yeah,
I didn't realize he's
had the sense knocked
like
out
that.
Of him.
Anyway, on that bombshell, on that whiplashy bombshell, we're going to get out of here. That's it for the Luke and Pete Show this week. We will, of course, be back on Monday, as we always are. Do keep your emails, your missives, your messages, your comments coming in. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We are at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts as well if you like the show. That really helps us and we'd appreciate it. But all that's left for me to say now is have a lovely weekend. Go well. Look after yourselves. It's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Pete as well.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.